Hello, I'm your host, Aaron Rittmaster. Welcome to the Man Cave, where joining me tonight to record Diz Dad's podcast number 416 for Sunday, July 17th, 2016, are Kevin Crossman.
Aloha.
Brad Coates.
Welcome, everyone, to our Dizaholics Anonymous meeting.
And Brian Cassidy.
Hi, everybody. Good to be here.
So tonight, we're going to be wrapping up the first round of our My Disneyland tournament as we consider the shows and live entertainment region. That also means, by the way, that today, Sunday, July 17th, is the last day to vote in the poll to determine the outcome of the Thrills and Classics tie between the Disneyland monorail and Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln. Now, really, I'll go ahead and leave that open and let you vote until I wake up on Monday morning, just because I don't want to stay up Sunday night waiting for you. But don't wait too long, because your favorite could lose. So get out there and vote, and we'll get a winner for that one, because that will be one of the next groups that we'll be looking at for round two next week. Before we jump into this region's first round, I do want to take a moment and thank our sponsor, Fantastic Memories Travel, and its Mouse Master Travel Group. The Mouse Master Travel Group focuses on Disney destination vacations, and Mouse Master agents would love to take care of the stressful parts of vacation planning so you can focus on the fun. You can check them out at mousemastertravel.com. So we've talked, actually, kind of leading up to this region that, you know, these matchups, let's just say that the discussion might be a little quick this time around. Right, Kevin?
Yeah, you know, it's too bad that DCA has lost a couple of pretty good live attractions over the last couple of years. That might have made things a little bit more interesting. But I do think it's actually kind of cool. There should be some debate here a little bit. And basically, in our brackets, you know, we have the Thrills and Classics from Disneyland. We have the Magic for All Ages from Disneyland. We have the DCA attractions. And now in this final region, we have shows and live entertainment. And there's two sub-regions, one for Disneyland and one for DCA. And so, you know, at the end of each of these sections, there'll be a, you know, sort of a champion from Disneyland, a champion from DCA. And into the final four, one of these shows and entertainments will make it to the final four to compete against, you know, Radiator Springs Racers and Pirates or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, this was, so that people understand, you know, this was part of the design, as we talked about before that, the first show, the live show, that this was designed so that there's representation from the full range of Disney entertainment, basically, as the field narrows. So we'll jump right in and start off with what may be, frankly, one of the best matchups of the round. And that is a matchup between a couple of Disneyland live entertainments, the Paint the Night Parade, and Jedi Training Trials of the Temple, which is sort of the recent reboot of the Jedi Training Academy. And I'm going to let Kevin go ahead and get us started, because, you know, he's the one who set these up. So, you know, set us up here, Kev. What's the argument to be made for one or the other of these attractions?
Well, you know, Paint the Night is the higher ranked item here if you were going to, you know, look at the bracket and how it's constructed. It is the kind of continuation of the Electric Light Parade, which has always been very popular over the decades. Now, of course, updated with more modern floats, more modern LED lights and other special effects. And, of course, drawing from more recent Disney properties as part of the parade floats. And it is very well received as part of the Disneyland 60th anniversary celebration. But I'm actually going to hold my vote until the end, because I'm honestly on the fence about this and I don't have a strong opinion. So I'll be happy to be swayed by the other gentleman on the call.
Okay. Okay. Well, so Brad, what do you think here? Paint the Night versus Jedi Training Trials of the Temple.
Oh man, Kevin, you beat me to it. I wanted to ride the fence too, but it's kind of narrow for two of us. So, you know what? I almost didn't go see the Jedi Training Trials of the Temple this last trip because honestly, we were busy that day, and I just figured, it's just going to be another stage show like it was with Buzz and everything. And it just so happened that the show went off when we were over there dining at the dining area over there. And so I actually was very impressed with this particular show. It's almost as if they designed that area for this particular show. And so I really did enjoy it. But I would have to say, for me, Paint the Night is just one of those experiences. I've now seen it three times, and it may be my all-time favorite parade. It just is over the top. It's so creative. It flows so well. The floats are so huge, and it's just the way they work together and all the different things that are happening on each float as they go by. I'm just a real fan of Paint the Night. So for me, it's kind of sad because Jedi Training, I think, would beat out a lot of these other ones, but unfortunately, it's lined up against Paint the Night, and I'm a total Paint the Night fan.
Okay, so Brad has actually come out in favor of Paint the Night. We finally got somebody to commit. Now, Brian, is Brad right, or is there something he missed in the, you know, consideration of Jedi Training?
Well, I think for a lot of these matchups, we have one option that has this broad appeal to a lot of people, and then another option that has a more limited appeal to a subset of the guests to the park. And Jedi Training, I think, would be the more limited appeal option here. But for that audience that it's targeted for, it can be like a really incredible experience. Because I listened to your Landsea Land Dad show with Paul Hodgers.
Uh-huh.
And, that based on listening to that show, I realized that under the right conditions with the right kids and the right attitudes, I mean, this can be like a really incredible experience for them. But I'm going to go ahead and go for Paint the Night because it has a broader appeal. And because I think you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think there's a similar guest experience at Disney World.
Right.
So I think Paint the Night would be, more unique to Disneyland. So that's going to kind of help to sway my decision here as well.
Okay. Well, I can see that. I mean, you get two votes for Paint the Night. Brad really blown away by the technology of it and by the overall experience of it. You know, Brian giving it some bonus points for being a unique to Disneyland attraction. I mean, I guess, you know, the way I would see it, on the one hand, I get what Brad's saying about Paint the Night and you know, the argument that it has that broader appeal is a, you know, it's a good argument. It's a valid argument. But on the other hand, I think that Jedi Training, you know, you don't necessarily think of it at first as being anywhere near on the same level as Paint the Night. But given that you've got, first of all, guest interaction in a way that you just can't get in a parade. And that's, I think, the piece that Brian maybe there was referring to a bit about, you know, kids that are the right age and all that. I mean, look, my family loves nighttime parades, but we plan entire trips around Jedi Training Academy because, you know, that's my kids' number one priority. And they love other attractions, but that's the number one priority. And I don't know that I would say that. I mean, as impressive as Paint the Night is, that's not going to be the way we determine, you know, how we plan the rest of our day necessarily. So, you know, I guess I don't have a place to make a vote here yet. We've got two votes in favor of Paint the Night, but I might be tempted. I might be tempted to, you know, push Jedi Training Academy or Trials of the Temple up. The only thing, well, I'll let Kevin say his piece before I throw in my last two cents, but because it, you know, it won't matter potentially. But Kevin, you kind of rode the fence. We've got two votes. What do you think?
I was kind of leaning your direction anyway, and mostly because I felt like Paint the Night was maybe a little short, and I didn't love the disco thumpa 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 music in as much maybe as other people. So I will be happy to throw the vote to Jedi Training and see what may transpire after that. And I would say when last time I went to Disneyland, there were tons of kids running around trying to get into the show and getting set up with the Jedi Masters and all this other stuff. So it was a huge level of activity around just this thing. So, you know, the Star Wars craze is in full strength over at Disneyland. So I guess I will vote for Jedi training.
All right. And I'm going to disappoint you because as tempting as it is to push Trials of the Temple ahead, here's the thing for me. I like some parts of what they did when they changed the show over to Trials of the Temple. I like the way that they've given the apprentice a bit more of a role. And I like that they've, you know, more thoroughly integrated multiple villains to the show. It's not just, you know, Darth Maul and Darth Vader coming out, and it's a little more organic the way they get the other villains in. That's all great stuff. But the thing that kills it for me and the thing that makes me say, you know, I'm going to let this one go with Paint the Night is in an effort to make sure that they're taking Star Wars seriously since they own it now, Disney seems to have drained all the humor out of Jedi training. You know, there used to be elements of just really fun sort of, you know, dad humorish type stuff from the Jedi Masters spiel. And the minute they changed over to Trials of the Temple, even parts of the script that are otherwise identical have dropped all of every single one of the humor lines. And for an attraction that specifically, you know, draws in 4 to 12-year-olds, I just don't think it's right. I don't like that they've decided to just make it so super serious. A little levity, a little fun in the midst of it all, first of all, I think is appropriate to the source material, because there was always a little bit of jokey to, you know, some of the elements of the film. I mean, you know, yep. Han Solo was never the most serious guy. and so draining all the humor out of it, just kind of, as much as I love it, as much as my kids love it, I got to let Paint the Night advance.
Wow. Is everybody okay? I think the earth just stopped spinning on its axis. I knew for sure Aaron would vote for this, because how many years now have we heard about you, Aaron, and your daughter, and how she goes crazy for Jedi. But but you made some great points, and Jedi is phenomenal. I think for me, my issue was that I've got little princesses that I used to have to, when you used to be able to get in the parade at Disneyland, I had to wear the tutu and dance in the parade, but they love Star Wars, but for them to do the Jedi training, we just walk by it because it just doesn't fit their thing. But it's such a great, it is a great show, but you've made some good points. It has really kind of changed.
And like I said, there are elements of it that they did well in the changeover and that I like, but I can't say, given its opponent, I mean, almost any other opponent in this round, frankly, I think it probably, for me, would have beaten. But Paint the Night is just, you know, it's a really impressive show. For the limitation, even all the limitations that Kevin mentioned, it's a terrific show, and it's at least the best parade in the United States parks right now. So, you know, I couldn't see killing it in the first round or even really forcing a tie here.
Hmm. Okay.
All right. Well, let's move on to our next matchup. And this one is kind of an interesting one to me. You know, both of these are sort of Main Street entertainments, for lack of a better way to put it. You've got the Disneyland Band on Main Street and Mickey's Soundsational Parade. And I think we'll let Brian get us started this time. So, Brian, what do you think? Choose one of these contestants to make an argument for.
Well, the Disneyland Band, if you're really into marching band music, can have a really good appeal. But if you're not into that genre of music, you can recognize that they're talented musicians and the choreography is entertaining. But again, you have this other option that has a broader appeal to a larger option, another Main Street parade. Just for my personal taste, I'm not much of a big band music type person. So I'm going to throw my vote in for the Mickey Soundsational Parade.
Okay. So we have a vote for the Soundsational Parade. Brad, you're a fan of parades, and particularly ones that have good fan interaction. Does that carry over to Mickey's Soundsational?
Well, this is an interesting one because when I first started looking at this bracket, I didn't even pay much attention to it because I really thought Soundsational would be the one I would go all the way. But following along with Kevin's mindset of always having to have that one that throws everybody off, I'm going to actually vote for the band on Main Street. And here's the reason why. I love the parade, and we rarely miss it. I think the reason I picked the band on Main Street is because when I experience the band on Main Street, I don't go into the park, and then I don't go and find a place to sit, and I don't work it into my schedule, and I don't try to figure out how to be there at the right time. It's almost invariably when I walk onto Main Street and suddenly it's one of those first aha moments that reminds me I'm in Disneyland. I see the castle, and then I hear the band. It doesn't happen every time because the band's not always out there doing their thing. Right. But when I hear the band on Main Street, it just, for whatever weird reason, it just makes me think that I'm there. And so I'm actually going to vote for the band on Main Street.
Okay. So Brad has got us evened up here with one vote for the band on Main Street, one vote for Mickey's Soundsational. Kevin, who's got it right?
Well, I'm going to vote for Mickey's Soundsational because I do believe it is the best parade at Disneyland. I think it's a lot more enjoyable than Paint the Night. And honestly, I avoided this parade for a while. I'm not a big parade guy and not a big firework guy either. There was something, it was just really a fun parade when I experienced it. And so I really enjoyed it. So I am agnostic on the changes that they've made on the Disneyland parade, the Disneyland band. You know, they went from the more the sort of traditional old guys and now it's all young and hip. And I have see pros and cons on that. So I'm sort of agnostic on that change. But I really enjoyed the Soundsational Parade, so I got to vote for that.
Okay. I think that I see some merit on both sides. I like, kind of to the credit of the Disneyland band, I think that we've lost a lot of the, live performance entertainment. A lot of it's been replaced by things that are pre-recorded, and as much as the parade is something that's live, marching down the street, it's still very much a sort of a, the music is all pre-recorded.
Yeah, it's canned.
Interactions. Yeah, it's canned. That's the word I was looking for. And so, it's not truly live entertainment. And so the band gets some credit for that. That said, I still think that ultimately Soundsational, I got to agree. It's the better experience overall. I think Brian hits it on the head. It's got broad appeal. And as Kevin said, it's something that, you go out of your way to make sure you see it. And for all the value of that sort of placemaking ability that the Disneyland band has, I think that the Soundsational Parade, it has that ability too. And even more than that, it's just more enjoyable for more people. Okay, so we have a winner there. We have now have Paint the Night and Soundsational. So the parades will go head to head next round. But continuing this round, we have sort of a battle between new and old. We've got one of the newer shows on the Disneyland side, Mickey and the Magical Map, facing off against sort of a classic Disneyland live entertainment piece, the Dapper Dans. And Kevin, I think you're up first this time around, or well,
Would be Brad.
Yeah, it would be Brad. I'll let Brad. See, you've confused me because you kind of abstained the first time. but I'll come back to Brad here first instead. So Brad, what do you think? Which is the one that ought to advance here? Mickey and the Magical Map or the Dapper Dans?
Well, the hard one for me on this one is that I have not had the chance to actually see Mickey and the Magical Map. I was so looking forward on my last trip in June to finally seeing it. I walked back there, had it all worked into my touring plan and all set, only to get back there and discover it wasn't playing.
Oh, no.
So it's just like, oh, man. But I have to be honest, I did peak because of this. I had avoided it, but coming up on this show, I thought I should go ahead and take a good YouTube look at it. And I am very, very much looking forward to seeing this show. I love the Dapper Dans. It's another one of those things similar to what we talked about, the other things we just talked about how it's very iconic. It's great. However, I think I'm going to lean towards Mickey and the Magical Map, even though I haven't seen it yet.
Okay. All right. So we've got a vote for Mickey and the Magical Map. Kevin, did he get it right? Or is there, you know, some sentimental value here in the Dapper Dans?
Well, Brad's logic sometimes seems to be at odds with himself, I think, on this one. But so I'm actually going to vote for the Dapper Dans here. And let me tell you why. If Disneyland tomorrow decided to announce on their Disney Parks blog that they're getting rid of one of these attractions, which one do you think would cause the most panic and protest and all that other stuff? Would it be Mickey and the Magical Map or would it be the Dapper Dans? And I would say the Dapper Dans would get more, you know, of the groundswell going on this.
Oh, yeah,
and
absolutely.
It's true that in general, yes, people do not plan their day around the Dapper Dans. They may not stop and listen for the entire show, but they are a Disney institution, and I think that it is still great that they are still playing, and when it's Christmas time, they sing the Christmas songs. So I'm going to vote Dapper Dans here.
Even though they committed that travesty of Boy Band Week?
Well, was that part of Limited Time Magic? I mean, you can't.
Yeah, it was. All right. So we've got one vote each, one for the classic sound of the Dapper Dans, one for the, you know, sort of modern technology and brand new show of Mickey and the Magical Map. What do you think, Brian?
Oh, of all the matchups we have this go around, this is the most difficult one for me because I love me a barbershop quartet. The Dapper Dans is the more limited appeal. If you're not into barbershop quartet music, then it may not appeal to you. Whereas, Mickey and the Magical Map it has a greater appeal to general audiences. But because I like barbershop quartets, that's making this decision more difficult for me in particular. My wife and I saw Mickey and the Magical Map when we were at Disneyland in May, and it was incredible. The effects on the stage and the different Disney properties that were showcased throughout the show, and the union of the live action with the technical video screens in the background just made it a really amazing show. Dapper Dans is on both coasts. So it's not unique to Disneyland. Whereas Mickey and the Magical Map is even though it's new, it's a Disneyland show. So I think I'm going to cast my vote for Mickey and the Magical Map.
Okay. So we've got two votes for Mickey and the Magical Map. We've got one vote for Dapper Dans, and it's my turn to weigh in. Here's what I'm thinking. I'm not sure that I agree really that Mickey and the Magical Map is the broader appeal show. I think that each of these has sort of their niche. I think Mickey and the Magical Map tends to appeal, and I know it's an impressive show, and so, you know, adults can enjoy it, but it really is skewed towards younger kids. And to me, one of the knocks against it for a live show that's been around now, it's been in place for at least 2 or 3 years, right? I mean, somebody will correct me. How long has
probably
it been
close, there? Probably closer to 4 now.
Okay, so almost 4 years. Boy, that show has an unusually large number of technical difficulty issues that, you know, shut it down. And I just don't get that. I mean, 4 years in, you ought to be able to consistently perform the show. And that kind of gives it a knock in, to me, because it's hard for me to say something ought to advance when, if I go to the park, I'm not even sure it's going to be performing, even if it's normally supposed to. And on the flip side, you know, the Dapper Dans are one of those parts of the Disneyland experience that is kind of the opposite of that, right? You can always count on the Dapper Dans, and that sort of, I know we've stayed away from using the word, but, it's a quintessentially Disney experience, right? To have a barbershop quartet just sort of pop up in Main Street. I'm really conflicted about this, but I'm conflicted about it enough that I'm going to vote for Dapper Dans to make the tie here. And so we're going to throw this to the listeners to argue out and make a case. We'll watch for some comments along with the votes. Go ahead and try to convince other folks, because I'm really torn here, torn enough that I think that, you know, listeners ought to decide.
Good man.
Yeah, I think that's a good call. And by the way, Kevin, you were worried about me being conflicted. If these had been flip-flopped, I would have voted the same way. If Mickey and the Magical Map was up against the band on Main Street, I would have voted for Mickey and the Magical Map. So
all right.
I wasn't fair conflicted. Enough. It was just that particular one. But, okay. But I think this is a good call, because Dapper Dans are great. But I do have one. Aaron, you said you're not sure that the broader appeal thing, and I guess maybe I was thinking of it from a different perspective, that Mickey and the Magical Map would have a broader appeal because younger kids who loved Mickey and animation and it would draw their attention more than for the younger kids listening to Barbershop Quartet. But, I mean, not saying that's true, but that's just where I was thinking when he said right. that.
No, I understood what you were saying.
Because I'd hate to lose, to lose Dapper Dans almost feels like we'd have our Disney card pulled.
This is what I'm saying. If it's gonna happen, let's let the listeners do it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Good call.
Agreed.
All right. So we've got one more Disneyland matchup here. And this is another interesting one, although these are both, you know, newer shows. We've got the Fantasy Fair Royal Theater against the Disneyland Forever Fireworks. Now, if I remember correctly, Fantasy Fair Royal Theater has had fairly recent updates to their show, but it's sort of stayed true to the style. And so, okay, we're back to Kevin. I was checking to make sure. So, Kevin, talk a little bit about, and I think it would help people if you could explain a little bit about what those Fantasy Fair Royal Theater shows are about, you know, the kind of the way they work, and then, you know, talk about which of these you prefer.
Sure. So the Royal Theater is there at Fantasy Fair, and, you know, several times a day they do kind of recreations of some of your famous Disney stories. And so Tangled, Beauty and the Beast, and they, for a while they were doing Frozen. I think it's now they're back to doing Beauty and the Beast and Tangled, I think. In any case, they have usually two guys, Mr. Smythe and Mr. Jones, and they sort of retell the story in a very comical and musical way, and there's usually an appearance or two by Princess or other characters from that show. And so, you know, you get these guys throwing on dresses and throwing on wigs to play, you know, the old Wicked Stepmother or whatever. And it's, to me, this show is so much fun, and it is always packed. You always have to get there earlier or get a fast pass or whatever, and people are always jostling for their seats. But it's not like you have to get there 8 hours early like you do for the fireworks. So to me, this is one of the best and, gentlemen, most unique shows in all the Disney parks. And I really love this show. And I will make an extra effort to go and attend, even if I've seen Beauty and the Beast before or whatever. In a way that I sometimes avoid the park when it's firework night, because there's no doubt that Disneyland Forever Fireworks Show is a great fireworks show. But it honestly is not my bag, given the sort of pain and suffering of having to deal with crowd stuff.
Okay.
So in this case, I'm going to vote for Royal Theater, a unique Disneyland attraction, fellows, and hope that maybe someone will buy my logic there, although I kind of doubt it.
All right. So Brian, you heard an argument from Kevin for the Fantasy Fair Royal Theater. Was it convincing?
Well, you know what? It was. I you know, when I was thinking about this before the show, I was leaning towards the fireworks, but you've got fireworks at all the parks, and as impressive as the Disneyland Forever Fireworks Show is, Kevin really made some good points about the Fantasy Fair. This is one that I didn't actually see live. So I caught it on YouTube and I saw the Frozen rendition, and I found it very entertaining. I mean, it's targeted for kids, but it's entertaining for adults as well. So I think I will join Kevin and cast my vote for Fantasy Fair.
Wow. Interesting. All right. So Brad, the fate of the Disneyland Forever fireworks lie in your hands. We have votes from the other two guys for the Fantasy Fair Royal Theater. Do I smell an upset brewing?
You smell something in the water. No, and I don't mean that negatively to what the guys have said. In fact, Kevin, you did an excellent job describing Fantasy Fair, because I've heard people say, well, it was just more like a storytelling meet and greet kind of a thing. And it's not. It's so much better than that. It reminds me of, do they still do the storytelling in the bookstore on the left side as you go inside the castle, where the one guy would come out and talk? And I think it was one of the princesses would sit there and tell a story in the bookstore with the kids all sitting around at her feet. Do you remember that one?
I don't.
You don't remember that? It was so good, and my kids used to love that. And honestly, you probably could have swayed me if it had been any other fireworks show but this one. Because my particular take on Disneyland Forever compared to other fireworks shows was that because of all the new added things and because of the new locations, for the first time the last couple of trips I've gone out, I haven't had to sit and wait for hours to get a good spot to watch fireworks. I got a spot back by It's a Small World to watch Paint the Night, and then just stayed there. And then it was a whole different kind of an experience watching the show and the laser work on It's a Small World while the fireworks were to the side. And then on that same trip, we got right in the middle of downtown and experienced that with all the stuff that was on the roofs and everything. And because this particular fireworks show, finally I can view it from a lot of different places and get different experiences, but all of them in so far in my experience have been great experiences, not just good, but great experiences. I'm gonna stick with Disneyland Forever Fireworks.
All right. So Brad made the case for the Disneyland Forever Fireworks. Coming into this, I was thinking I was going to be the one who was going to, make an impassioned plea for Fantasy Fair Royal Theater, just because it's a style of live show that I think we don't get enough of from Disney.
That's
where,
true.
You know, the actors have a little bit more flexibility with the script, and it seems to me to be a really organic show the way they tell it. And it's a little different each time. That makes it something special. And in some ways, to me, that's kind of what makes it more worthy than Mickey and the Magical Map, right? Because it is
true,
more character driven than it is technology driven. But on the other hand, Disneyland Forever, I mean, yeah, there are fireworks in all of the Disney parks, but Disneyland Forever kind of raised the bar. And it's not a perfect show. I think that there are some challenges presented by the reliance so much on projection effects. I think we're seeing some of that playing out in some other parks as well right now. But they do add a really interesting new element. And Brad makes a good argument, a good point here, that part of it is, in a lot of ways, these fireworks have become more rewatchable than, you know, they might be otherwise. I mean, a fireworks show is a fireworks show to some extent, but then the idea that the fact that you really do get a very much different experience depending on where you're watching from, some would say it's a negative because you can't see everything all at once, but I think that that's kind of a narrow view of the experience of watching the show. I mean, I think that the more appropriate way to see it is that you get a different show from different perspectives.
And that's excellent. Yeah, exactly.
And so, you know, it's got that extra bit of rewatchability. Now, Kevin, you're waving your arms here. You've got another thing that you want to say about it before I say anything else. So go ahead.
Well, the one thing I would say is the biggest problem is that it's not really even a celebration of Disneyland per se. It's like the World of Color is much better at celebrating the history of Disneyland for its 60th anniversary than this fireworks show does. But
right, and I'll give you
guys. You guys definitely raise good points about the more good watchability options for this particular show compared to past ones. That there's no doubt that that's a huge improvement.
Right. And here's what I would say about that. I mean, I can understand that a lot of people, you're not the only one. A lot of people were disappointed that the Disneyland Forever fireworks show wasn't more of a celebration of Disneyland history. Because it was developed to be part of the 60th anniversary celebration. But that said, I think that it's fair to evaluate it too, just as a show, as opposed to evaluating, you know, how it fit into the 60th anniversary plans. And evaluating it just as a show, you know, it's a fantastic show. Fantastic enough that there's no way that I'm letting it bow out in the first round, just that easily. So two in a row, this is going to be the first quadrant, and we really didn't expect this. We said going in, we thought this one might be quick, but I'm going to throw this one to the listeners as well. There were two votes for Fantasy Fair that made good arguments that I was all set to be the one who had to remind people about those things before we voted. But, you know, it's close enough to me that I think that the listeners deserve to weigh in on this matchup and on the fate of the Disneyland Forever fireworks. So we get our second in a row that will be determined by a listener vote. And we move over to the Disney California Adventure shows, where perhaps the competition may not be quite so fierce. Because in the first round, we get a brand new show and a show that's fairly new, but maybe a little lesser known. It's the one that we had lots of people saying, remind me what that is again. We have the brand new Frozen Live at the Hyperion facing off against DJ's Dance and Drive over in Cars Land. And Brian, why don't you get us started here? Frozen Live at the Hyperion or DJ's Dance and Drive?
Well, you know, there doesn't seem to be a whole lot to the Dance and Drive. It's more of an experience than it is a show, because I think it's geared to getting folks to dance to some music that's played by the car named DJ. And there are some cast members that are there to encourage people to dance and whatnot, but that's pretty much it. Whereas I guess that's enough said about it. As opposed to the Frozen show, which again, it's another Disney show with really elaborate sets. I think they had creative scene changes, and they used lighting effects in really creative ways to emulate Elsa's magic, and also to give you the sense of motion and travel. You know, they're on a limited stage, but because of the light effects, they give you this illusion that they're actually moving. So I got a lot more enjoyment out of the Frozen shows. So that's going to be my pick for this section here.
All right. So we have a vote for Frozen Live at the Hyperion. Kevin, did he give DJ's Dance and Drive its due?
He gave it more than enough due there. So, you know, this Frozen show, you know, it was kind of controversial to replace the Aladdin show, but it's been getting really good reviews from even sort of diehard Disney feet in the mud type people. So we all know that sometimes there's too much Frozen at Disneyland, but this is a good example of how it can be used well in the parks. And like I said, getting great reviews. So I got to vote for Frozen here.
All right. So we've got two votes for Frozen. Brad, is it a clean sweep?
Kill the lamb. Kill the lamb. The sacrificial lamb. Yeah, it's a clean sweep.
Okay.
Yeah. From you, I thought you'd get it right away. I guess I better watch my humor.
That's okay. We got there.
Frozen. Thing with Frozen. And Kevin, you nailed it, you know, and both Brian and Kevin are both seated. You haven't had a chance, right, Aaron, because you haven't been out since a while back. I think they took quite a risk to go so far around the corner from where the kind of show that Aladdin was. Don't you guys think? It was so drastically different that it's like, okay, this might not go well. But you know what? In the end, if any show was ever going to replace Aladdin and do it effectively, I think they knocked it out of the park. The first time I saw it, I was in the mezzanine. And just to give you a heads up, Aaron, when you go, the mezzanine, there will be oxygen masks that will drop out of the.
I've heard it's extremely steep up there, especially.
Oh my gosh! When I first sat down, I thought I am not going to like this. I mean, I'm so far from the stage. I thought this was like the middle of the road. This is the North 40, and the others, the balcony must be stratosphere. I mean. But one of the cool things that happened was once the show got going, there's so much that happens with lighting effects and things literally on the stage itself, the surface of the stage and the walls, things that you would not see if you were down at eye level. And so it actually created a different kind of an experience being up higher. And I just thought that was pretty clever on their part to create multiple view angles similar to the fireworks, where you get a different experience from different locations in the theater. So, but it's just a great show. It was super, and I get it. You know, enough. I don't hate Frozen, but I've had enough. You know, I'm good if I don't have to go to another Frozen sing along. I'll be okay. You know, but this was a phenomenal show, whether it was Frozen or not. It just was a great show. So, yep, clean sweep.
Okay. So the clean sweep for Frozen live at the Hyperion. And we move on to an interesting couple of shows here. We have the Five and Dime show and the Red Car Newsboys. And Brad, I'm going to let you kind of get us started on this one. So, you know, talk about one of these, make an argument.
Okay. Well, one of the things with both of these shows is that in many ways they're similar. They're different styles of music, but they're kind of that experience with the singing. You get a little bit more of the acting and action with the Newsboys than Five and Dime, but with the Five and Dime, you get the old flapper music. I don't know what else to call it, but just the old style of music, and it's great. The Newsboys is typical Newsboys. So I think in many ways this could be close. A lot of it may depend upon the kind style of music that you prefer. But as I mentioned the last time when I went for the Red Card Trolley, the only reason I really liked the Red Card Trolley was because of the Newsboys. So
that's true.
Yeah, I really like that show. It's one that if they start to come anywhere near, I head over there to see it because I just really enjoy that show. That's the one Broadway musical of Disney's that I haven't had a chance to see. Well, there's several I haven't had a chance, but that's the one I really want to see. So I'm going for Newsboys.
All right. So we have one vote for the Red Car Newsboys. Brian, what do you think?
I'm going to agree with Brad on that. I saw both of these shows, and as Brad said, you know, part of the appeal depends on your musical tastes, and I'm not very much of a jazzy kind of guy. So, the music that was, played by the Newsboys appealed to me more. It seemed to be more of a show than a performance. It seemed like the Five and Dime was more like a performance, and the Red Car Newsboys was in addition to the singing, there was a lot more choreographed and a bit of a story to it. So for those reasons, I'm going to go for the Newsboys.
Okay. Yeah, that's an interesting argument. A good point there that you get a little bit more of a feel of a piece of a musical as opposed to a musical performance out of the Red Car Newsboys. So, Kevin, is it a clean sweep here for the Newsboys, or is there something we've overlooked so far about Five and Dime?
Well, I think that both of these shows are actually really outstanding and really are great examples of how great Buena Vista Street is at this park. And I might even put these guys over the Dapper Dans or anything else on Main Street at Disneyland.
Agreed.
Yeah. And I completely agree. It's coming down a little bit to taste. And in that respect, I will vote Five and Dime because I tend to be less of a musical guy. And I think that we also didn't mention that Mickey makes an appearance in the Red Car Newsboys. That's kind of a cool thing. But I just really enjoy the more organic feel of Five and Dime, and that it's sort of like a Streetmosphere thing with all the other Streetmosphere stuff that they do at Buena Vista Street. It feels kind of more organic to me than the Newsboys does. So again, this is a tomato thing, and there's no wrong answers, but I will vote Five and Dime.
All right. Well, we got two votes for Red Car Newsboys, one vote for Five and Dime. I don't really see enough there to try to make a tie out of it. I think we've all, we've heard all the arguments. If I was going to vote, I'd be inclined to, vote for the Newsboys anyway, because I do think that I appreciate the, I think as Brian put it, that there's more of a story there. And so Red Car Newsboys advance fairly easily against Five and Dime, despite Kevin's best efforts. And we move to a couple of Pixar-related shows. We have Operation Playtime with the Green Army Men versus the Pixar Play Parade. And Brian, I think it's your turn to get us started off here. What do you think?
Well, let's see. I like the Operation Playtime with Green Army Men because it's percussion, and I'm a percussion fan. It's reminiscent in some ways to the Jaminators at Epcot, and I enjoy that show as well. But the Pixar Play Parade it's another really good Disney parade with incredible floats and costuming and all the Disney property music. That appeal factor is going to weigh in, because I think that both of these can be said to target younger guests. But I kind of think that the parade would appeal to a larger number of the younger guests than the Green Army Men, because I think that might appeal to more of the young boys, whereas the parade would include everyone.
Okay.
So I think I'll go with the parade.
Okay, so we've got a vote for the Pixar Play Parade to get us started. Kevin, what did he miss in his analysis there?
I guess he missed that it's a little bit more humorous with the Green Army Men, maybe a little bit. But in general, that's the only thing he missed. I mean, this is a very easy pick here. Pixar Play Parade, very good parade, if you like the Pixar properties, of course. It's maybe getting a little long in the tooth. They could be doing some different things there, but it's still a great parade. So I got to vote for that one.
Okay. Two votes for the Pixar Play Parade. Brad, any love for the Army Men?
Oh, I love the Army Men, but for me, the Army Men is a distraction. It's brief. You move past it quickly, where the parade is more an event that you kind of work towards going to go see. I like them both. Back to, you know, going off what Kevin said, tomato, tomato. I think they're both great, but I think in the end it has to be the Play Parade.
Okay. So,
but I am totally with Kevin. It is time to. I don't want to see him cancel it. Let's spruce it up. Let's get some new stuff into it.
Oh yeah, I mean we finally have some new, you know, Pixar films. So
yeah. Let's get some new characters in and new.
Right. Yep. All right. So the last matchup of the night is the matchup that, you know, I think this is another Sacrificial Lamb matchup. But we have the Disney Junior Live on Stage show facing off against World of Color Celebrate. So, Kevin, you know, I think you get to start us off on the last matchup of the night. What do you think, World of Color or Disney Junior?
Well, I'll be honest with you, I have spent many, many hours in the Disney Junior Live on Stage. None of those hours have been in the past 8 or 10 years. But back when my kids were young, we did spend quite a bit of time in there. And as kids' shows go, this is certainly a nice one, and they're always changing out the properties to maintain whatever's actually on TV these days. And nice and interactive, and kids have a lot of fun. There's nice benches on the sides and in the back for the adults to sit on. But, yeah, the World of Color, to me, this was the best live show that they added for the 60th anniversary. I liked Neil Patrick Harris and his presence. I liked the celebration of Disneyland's history. I still think that the fountains and the lighting effects and all the other stuff add a lot of great elements. And the fact that, you know, with World of Color, they take over that whole back part of the park with, you know, lighting effects on the fun wheel and everything else. It's really an outstanding show. And, you know, it could win the entire tournament as far as I'm concerned. So I'm going to go up for World of Color.
All right. So we have an enthusiastic vote for World of Color. Brad, is he right?
So if anybody wants to know what I feel, just rewind. Listen to everything that Kevin just said. Kevin and I are twins, I think, on this one for sure. I couldn't have said it any better. For all the same reasons that he just said, World of Color is just something that cannot be missed. And this is the best rendition they've done. I've seen four or so different ones that they've done. And I agree, this is the best representation for the 60th, and not just because it tells the story of Disney, but because of the addition of the different lighting on the fun wheel and all the rest. It just took it to a whole other level. And for those of you that are going to go see it, I'm going to put in a plug. I did two very wise investments on this last trip. I got the on the go meal for Oasis, the Aladdin area, that got me premier seating for the Paint the Night, and that's where I got to see the It's a Small World 2, the fireworks. But I bought the dessert party for this, where you sit at the tables. It's not cheap, but wow, I have never enjoyed World of Color like that, to be able to sit and relax and actually see everything. It was okay. Worth whatever they wanted to charge me. It was really an amazing experience. So yeah, definitely World of Color. It's a great show.
Okay. So two strong endorsements of World of Color. I got to ask, because you're on the panel, Brian. Anything to say for Disney Junior that hasn't already been said? Is there any argument that can be made that it ought to advance rather than World of Color?
No, not really. I mean, it's the point for the Disney Junior is that it could be a really good experience for younger kids, but unlike some of the other experiences or shows that are really geared towards kids, I don't really see this as having really any appeal to the adults that are, you know, in the state, in the audience, watching it. Just because it's so targeted towards the kids. So no, I couldn't put Disney Junior over World of Color. However, I'm not as enthusiastic about World of Color as Brad and Kevin are. And my reasons for this is that I'm not really crazy about the venue and how they have it. You know, the way they have the whole show oriented, it really limits from where in the park you can watch it and enjoy it. And they kind of force you to be in this this one section in front of the aerial
right
venue. And if you don't pay the extra money to be in that dessert party, you know, you're kind of really crowded and you're standing. And I kind of compare it to Hollywood Studios Fantasmic, and they have this you know, tiered seating, and yeah, they can fit a lot of people in it. And I think, I don't know how they do it, but it would have been a much more enjoyable experience if they had done something so that, you could be seated comfortably and be able to see the show. I mean, if you're a small kid, you're going to have a really hard time watching the show without like being held by your parent or sitting on their shoulders. And then if you're doing that, then you're blocking the people behind you. You know, it just seems like there are a lot of logistical issues with actually watching the show.
Right.
And my other grievance with it is I'm not a very big fan of projected video on the water display. You know, I'm kind of spoiled by high def and 3D and IMAX and all that, and just the quality of the video. You know, it's very dependent on the weather and the wind, whether there's enough water vapor for you to get a good image projected on it. But you know, with all those points, I still think it's a much better experience for a vastly larger audience of people than the Disney Junior.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, fair enough. And it's probably a good thing that we mentioned that it, for all of its benefits. I mean, I think you legitimately pointed out some of the weaknesses of the show. I don't think you're alone there in, you know, not loving the way the seating is handled and in recognizing the sort of limitations of that water screen technology that they seem to be so in love with at the moment.
I mean, if I was a California resident, or even if I was a California resident, it would be like, okay, I've seen it once. That's enough. It's not something that I need to see every time I'm in the park at closing.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. So, you know, if they change it out with something else, then yeah, okay, I go and see the new show, but I can't see myself making it a regular part of my visit.
Right, right. All right. So let's go ahead and do just a quick recap here of the first round of the shows and live entertainment bracket, or the region of shows and live entertainment. We had Paint the Night convincingly over the, Paint the Night surprisingly close over the Jedi Training Academy Trials of the Temple show. We had Mickey's Soundsational Parade over the Disneyland Band on Main Street. We had two in a row ties that we're going to need some listener help on. Mickey's and the Magical Map in a tie with the Dapper Dans. And then separately we have Fantasy Fair Royal Theater in a tie with Disneyland Forever Fireworks. That one may be something of a surprise. Over on the DCA side of the bracket, things were a little clearer. We have Frozen Live at the Hyperion advancing over DJ's Dance and Drive. We have Red Car Newsboys going ahead over the Five and Dime Singers. We have Pixar Play Parade advancing over the Operation Playtime with the Green Army Men. And finally, we have World of Color advancing against Disney Junior live on stage. You've heard what we think about these experiences. we'd love to hear what you think, especially for those ones that, you know, we need you to help break the tie on. But in any case, we'd like to hear what you think of our analysis. You can email us at podcast@dizdads.com, visit our blog, dizdads.com, tweet us at dizdadspodcast on Twitter, and participate in the discussions in our forums at boards.dizdads.com. And you can also catch us on Facebook at facebook.com/dizdadspodcast. Until next time, I've been Aaron Rittmaster with Brad Coates.
It's great hanging with you guys tonight.
Brian Cassidy.
Thanks for having me.
And Kevin Crossman.
Good night, everyone.
And make sure you get back in there and vote. Remember, you have to close the voting on that Thrills and Classics first round matchup. So go vote.